Parak Beis, Mishnah Ches. Nashim va'avadim uktanim p'turim min asukah. Women, nashim women, avadim servants, uktanim and minors are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. This is learned out of a pasuk in the Torah where it says, kol ha'ezach b'yisrael yeshu b'sukos. We learn out from this pasuk that is referring to the males and not to females. So females, women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Of course, if they want to fulfill the mitzvah, they're able to. It's not obligatory, right? It's not a chiyuv, but they can fulfill it nonetheless. If they want it, then, you know, by all means, but they're not obligated to. Whereas men, of course, are obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Avadim, servants, are an eved kanani, a Canaanite servant, who has the same laws relating to the Torah regards, like, just like a woman. That's the rule in general. An eved kanani has the same laws like a woman. So if the woman's exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, they're also exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, even though they could be a man, right? Uktanim and minors is because they're not bar mitzvah, they're not bas mitzvah, they're not obligated yet in the mitzvahs. However, what about a katan, a minor? She'ena tzarech le'imo, he doesn't need his mother. So how do you define a minor that doesn't need his mother? They explain over here that if he wakes up in the middle of the night, he doesn't scream, ima, ima, mother, mother, right? Either he just goes to sleep, or even if he screams, but he'll scream and then he'll go back to sleep. So he's really not connected to his mother anymore, and he's chayev besukah, he's chayev to be mechanech, to educate him and to teach him, you know, through chinuch, the mitzvah of sukkah. That kind of obligation he would have upon him, meaning upon his parents. So if he'll scream mother, mother, and he won't stop until his mother comes to him in the middle of the night, then he's still attached to his mother, he's not obligated at all. But if he's the type of kid that, you know, he's at a stage where he's not really dependent on the mother anymore, either he won't scream at all in the middle of the night, or he'll scream and then he'll calm down, so then he's called a katan she'edo tzarech imo. He's a minor that doesn't need his mother anymore, and he would be chayav the mitzvah of sukkah just on a chinuch, on an education level. Ma'aseh, there was a story. V'yolda kalaso shel Shammai hazaken, and Shammai the elder, his daughter-in-law, had a baby. U'piches es ha'ma'azeva, so Shammai went ahead, and he broke off a part of the roof that was on top of the bed of his daughter-in-law. V'sichich al gabei amit, and he put tzchach over there. B'shvil ha'katan, for the minor, so that the minor, this little baby that was born, should get the mitzvah of sukkah. Because Beisham, I hold that kol katan, any minor, is chayef to sit in a sukkah. Not like the Tanakhama, not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that they're exempt. Unless they're at a point where they're not dependent on their mother, then you're the chayef just on a level of chinuch, on education. Where Hashem, I held that no, they're chayef to put them in the sukkah, regardless of their age. And the commentators explain that Shammai was stringent, l'chayef b'chinuch, to obligate through on an educational level. Even a minor that does need his mother, even a one-day-old. Why? Because at the end of the day, is it afshar? Could we do it? Yeah, we could do it. It doesn't hurt. So then therefore, they're whole, that the baby's obligated, right? Because because they hold any mitzvah, if it's possible to educate the child, then you got to do it, no matter the age of the child. That's Shammai's opinion. Whereas the Chachamim, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, they hold that no. Since in this case, the mother is exempt from the mitzvah, right? So the Lefikach, therefore, Kol Shu Tzarech Lo, whoever needs the mother, meaning this kid, is not Roy, is not befitting to be Mechanachim in the mitzvah of Sukkah either. So Chachamim are going to hold that we look at the mother. If the mother's not obligated, and the kid's not either going to be obligated in this case. And it seems they both are coming from, you know, valid points. The Chum hold that the kid's always dependent on the mother, so the mother's exempt, the kid's exempt. Whereas Shammai hold that the general rule, the general principle, even nowadays, is that when a kid's at the level of educating him, they's chayav in mitzvahs on a chinuch level. And I believe that's how we hold. So he's just saying that if you're willing to lose, you can chanuch him anyways, so then go ahead and do it. That's what Shammai's holding. And that's going to be the difference of opinion between Shammai and the Chachamim, and that's Mishnah Ches. Mishnah Tassim, with this we conclude the second chapter, Parak Beis. Kol Shivas Yamim, all 7 days of Sukkos, Adam Osa Sukkaso Keva, a person should make his Sukkah Keva, he should make it permanent, meaning he should just spend as much time as he can over there. Ubeso Arai, and his home should become the temporary dwelling. He should totally move into his Sukkah. He should make the main dwelling throughout that week his Sukkah. The Gemara explains, if he has nice, you know, dishes, bring it in. If he's got a nice couch, bring it in. He should eat there. He should drink there. He should spend time there. He can even play board games there. You should totally move into the sukkah. There are stories of great tzaddikim that they never left the sukkah the whole Yom Tov unless they had to use the bathroom. It's a very, very special mitzvah. It's one of the only mitzvahs in the Torah that you actually have to go into the mitzvah to perform the mitzvah, right? You know, a lot of mitzvahs, the way you perform it is you say a bracha, you put something on, you do something. Sukkah is one of the very few mitzvahs that you actually have to go into the mitzvah. So it's a beautiful mitzvah, and it's what the Mishnah is teaching us over here is that you should really make a kevah, you should spend as much time as you can in the sukkah. Yerdu gashamim, but if it begins to rain, so then you don't have to be in the sukkah, right? Me'emes amut lefanas, at what point can you leave the sukkah? A little drop, a lot of rain, what's the rule? So the rule is, mishatisach hamikpeh, if your stew will become like, you know, mekulkal, become like disgusting from the rain that's coming in from the schach, then you could, you know, go inside the house. And mashal, you have a parable, l'mad av adomet, what does it matter comparable to when it rains on sukkahs and you have to leave the sukkah? Le'eved sheba limzo kos l'rabo, to a servant who's coming to dilute his master's cup of wine. Shevach l'kiton alpanav, and the master spills the pitcher in his face. Shevach l'rabo es amashke shebekiton alpanav, the master spills the water in the servant's face, as if he's saying, I don't need your service, right? So to the rain that comes down into the sukkah, is showing that, you know, the actions of Klai Shal are no good, and go back into your house. And the commentaries explain this very important point. First of all, I believe this is only for the first night of Sukkah, okay? The first night of Sukkot, that this parable will apply. And then second of all, you have to understand that what is the servant, you know, coming to be mazog, to dilute? So in those days, what they would do is they used to have the master would drink the wine, and they would, when they would pour the wine, it was in a raw state. The servant would come with the water, and the water would sweeten the wine to make it pleasant and make it drinkable. So when the master is spilling the water in the servant's face, not only is he unapproving of his service, which is a parable to us that God's not approving of our service, which is a very unfortunate thing, but it's more than that. Because the water is there to sweeten the sharp, sharp wine. And if the master doesn't want to let the water sweeten the sharp wine, then he's showing that not only don't I approve of your services, but I want to go with you with sharpness. I want to go with you with judgment, with din, not with rachmam, not with mercy. And it's even more harsh. So it's actually a very important point that the first night of Sukkot, it doesn't rain. If it does, it's a very bad omen. Of course, if you're in a place where it normally rains, so then, you know, speak to your local halachic authority as what the rule is. But in general, we don't want it raining the first night of Sukkot because it's a very terrible omen, you know, to us as Klai Yisrael, because it shows that our actions are no good and that God wants to, you know, grab the midah of din, of judgment, to judge us and out of mercy. So it's important that it doesn't rain the first night, and it's important that we spend as much time in the Sukkah as possible. And that wraps up Mishnah Tess and concludes Parak Beis.